today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Harvey Levin here.
Jason?
Derek here.
So Donald Trump is back, at least back in theory. Elon Musk put it to a vote on Twitter, and Donald Trump finally won an election.
Pretty narrow, though, right?
First time he's ever won the popular vote in any election.
I am surprised, actually, that 51% of the people said yes.
Surprised that 51% of the Twitter users said yes? Because that doesn't surprise me at all.
I thought this is 60, his 40. Domain.
Yeah. Now, I thought it'd be a wider margin.
Now, he is he's indicated, I don't believe him, that he's not going to go back because he's got Truth Social, and he's going to go back because he's running for president. Twitter's got a wider reach.
Maybe he does, but I got to say, of all the things he's ever done, this is the thing I like most. He basically, what's the old Mark Twain thing? I don't want to be part of any club that would have me. And he says, this club now will have me, and I don't want to be back. And I liked it. He said, I don't see any reason for it, Trump said when asked about the reinstatement. He insisted Truth Social is doing phenomenally well. Well, he transitioned from being cool by not wanting to be a part of it to flat out lie.
Well, and there's something like artistic about the last tweet that he has is from January 8th, right, saying, I don't plan on going to the inauguration.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's sort of this poetic end to the Donald Trump era on Twitter and on Truth Social, which is what he's pushing because he's behind that venture and he wants that to become popular. I think he'll stay on Truth. I think he got this as a sort of boost to Truth.
To Harvey's point, though, Truth is failing by every indication. It's failing. And he's running for president and he wants to be popular and reach people. And that the place to do that is on Twitter.
I have a problem with this. I have a problem with Elon Musk with this. So, look, first of all, I feel very strongly.
We knew this was coming, though, right?
I feel so strongly about this. This is ridiculous that people are saying Elon Musk is the reason. Twitter was a piece of shit before Elon Musk took it over. I mean, there was so much hate on Twitter. The extremes in this country were running Twitter. And corporations were looking at the extremes and making judgments based on them. Everything about Twitter, I think, was wrong. And yeah, there are some good things, too. And there are people who use it and presidents use it and everything else. But come on, everybody, to say. And you
are
know,
you saying it was a cesspool and now it's a different cesspool?
I mean, I was watching CNN this morning and they were talking. Somebody was on talking about, you know, letting Trump back on and everything else. And they were saying that you can't, you know, they wanted stuff opened up in a way, but, you know, keeping things. I can't remember how they said it, but it was something about that you can't have this kind of tribalism on Twitter with, you know, Donald Trump. Well, all cable news is tribal. I mean, cable news doesn't tolerate the side they don't agree with. So to hear that was so ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
But the reason I have a problem with Elon is, and this doesn't apply to him directly, but the principle does. We have a principle in this country. The basic underpinning of democracy is to prevent majority tyranny, to protect people who don't live in the majority. That's why we have a Bill of Rights. It is specifically designed to protect the minority from majority tyranny. That's why we say free speech, because you can always allow speech if you agree with it. It's when you don't that you need this kind of protection. And that's why we have a First Amendment. It's to prevent majority tyranny. So, for somebody.
You're upset because he's leaving it to popular vote to determine whether
correct,
this man can speak.
That all of a sudden, you know, what Elon Musk is doing, and again, the principle I talked about has to do with the government, not private companies. But I think it applies in spirit. You know, when somebody runs a platform like this, that, you know, what, you're going to let the majority decide? Well, eventually what's going to happen is the majority is going to become like a cable news network, and there are going to be enough of them saying, you can go on, you can't go on, you can go on, you can't go on. Why open that door?
Well, wait a minute. What Elon Musk is, you're pointing out a sound principle of avoiding the tyranny of the majority, but what Elon is fighting against is the tyranny of the minority. He didn't want people who are clearly popular to be excluded from having a voice on his platform. Look what he tweeted. He said, the people have spoken, Trump will be reinstated. Vox populi, vox dei, which means the voice of the people is the voice of God. How on earth And you may not agree with that sentiment. I think it's a little overwrought for Donald Trump.
Oh, you think so?
But what he's saying is, this is the voice of the people. How on earth can I make a public forum or a sort of public town square, which is his mission and what he wanted to do?
No.
But you can't keep the guy who's speaking for the people off the platform.
No. Then he should just say it. Then he should just say it. If what you're saying is true, then Elon should say it. But to say them, look.
He's highlighting the absurdity.
He's allowed to do it. But if he opens that door, what's going to happen is it's going to be like Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. The only people really invited and welcome are people who you agree with.
I don't think he excludes the minority positions.
But what is the Muskian principle? What is the Twitter principle? Whoever the majority of people here want to listen to, I'll allow them. And if a minority of people don't want to hear you, then I'm not going to allow you. If that's the principle, then that's
Who is he disallowing? All he's doing is allowing. He's allowing more people on the platform.
He would have disallowed if he lost the vote.
That's
what he said.
I don't think he would have done that.
But hold on, I know that's what he said. I know you're saying that, but what basis do you have to say it?
You just quoted him. He said he put it up for a vote.
You even condescendingly
translated Vox Populi Vox Dei, which we all heard 1,000 times yesterday, for the purpose that the people of the voice of the people's people of God. Now you're saying, well, he wouldn't listen to the voice of the people.
We're gonna do a majority vote here the way they do on Twitter. How many say Derek's full of shit? Two people. How many say he's not full of shit?
The producers also said there we go.
Guys, who's with me?
Okay.
I got Corey's
settled. There you go, Derek. Okay, we are going to move on to Kelly Rowland. I think this is really interesting.
Derek and I were just hotly debating this before you came.
Oh, good. So, then you guys start.
Go ahead. All right, Kelly Rowland took the stage at the AMAs to give out the award for best R&B performance
artist
of the year, and read the nominees, opened the envelope, read the winner being Chris Brown.
Chorus of boos.
It was mixed. I mean, there were some applause, but there were a lot of boos too. And I was actually just to stop it there for a second before we even get back to her response.
I mean, what they said was he's no Roman Polanski,
but noticeable on the telecast. Yes, mixed, but you could hear it.
But
on
you
the
could
telecast.
Definitely hear the boos. This was not around
vocal
applause.
Minority at most.
Vocal minority, maybe even a majority. But in any event, there were a lot of boos out there, and I was stunned by that. That 13 years hence after Rihanna's.
I wasn't stunned.
Not at all.
I was stunned. Maybe I just haven't been up to date with how he's been received more
recently. You know, I wasn't stunned because people were taking the temperature, and I think that a lot of people who supported him 8 years ago are kind of like looking and saying, we shouldn't do it now. It's not a good thing to do. And I think people have flip-flopped on him.
I agree.
Yeah. So,
but it doesn't mean that you can forget what he did to Rihanna.
Definitely not, as a lot of people in the audience did not, but Kelly Rowland took a very different approach than I think the audience did, because she came up with a full-throated applause for his win. She said,
She scolded the audience.
Chill out, she said. Now, Chris Brown is not here tonight, so I'm accepting this award on his behalf. Do we have the sound that we want to go to on this?
And the American Music Award goes to Chris Brown. Chris Brown is not here tonight, so I'm accepting this award on his behalf. Excuse me, chill out. But I want to tell Chris thank you so much for making great R&B music. And I want to tell him thank you for being an incredible performer. I'll take this award, bring it to you. I love you. Congratulations. And congratulations to all the nominees in this category.
You know what's really funny about this? That, again, I guess, God, what is wrong? I've just, over the last couple of years, I just think these award ceremonies are so fucking stupid. And no, I do, because, and the reason I say it is because the hypocrisy, I mentioned Roman Polanski a minute ago, when the Academy, everybody in the during the Oscars gave him a standing ovation. This is a guy who raped a 13-year-old girl. So, when you look at the music industry, look, what Chris Brown did was horrendous. It was terrible. And he absolutely deserved to be convicted for it, right?
Yep.
But look at everybody. Look at other people in the music industry. There's a lot in that music industry where you could roll your eyes and say that person isn't worthy. But it's like you pick the people that are the easy targets.
Yeah.
And, what about which is ironic, remember, because Michael Jackson, and again, never convicted,
right.
But there was a specter there. He settled a $20 million lawsuit again with Jordan Chandler right. and all. And, you know, so you pick and choose. And I'm not sure there's any consistency in the picking and the choosing.
Oh, no, the visual images of Chris Brown were different than anything that we've really seen before. It's hard to not.
Yeah, because the other stuff happens. Always happens.
I got
in
it.
Private.
But it's hard not to think. When I think hear Chris Brown's name in any context, I think about that photo.
I do too.
And
so
it's hard to get past.
I
that.
See her swollen face in my mind when you conjure his name, and I always will. I think it's a transgression that is so beyond the pale that yes, 13 years hence, it hasn't really softened for some people. I don't think that's strange.
So you have to see it to believe it.
Well, to be consistently reminded of it. I mean, the same thing we've always talked about with the Watergate tapes. You know, once, but for hearing Nixon's voice on those tapes, you wouldn't be as
Donald Sterling, known him. Racist, but for hearing him.
Well, yeah. Jeffrey Epstein, you didn't see it, but you believe it.
No, but if we saw it, imagine how more impactful it would be.
It was impactful enough, right? There's plenty in the music industry that's impactful enough.
Yeah,
they overlook certain things. They don't overlook other things.
That's true. I mean, look, if somebody has built up goodwill, then we're more willing to overlook it. Michael Jackson's career was very different after those allegations. Now, that was partially because he became a hermit, but it's hard to know what to do with that. Kelly Rowland's response to this was interesting. She was clearly a full throated defense of Chris Brown. She tells the audience to chill out.
Says she loved him.
She says she loved him.
It's interesting. The AMAs was going to
have him do a
Michael Jackson tribute, and they canceled it the day before.
Right.
What happened in those 24 hours that they canceled it? They didn't know about this?
No, I think it was. They licked their finger and put it in the breeze and saw that it was going to go over poorly.
Right.
And they did not want to have him up there performing on stage.
What did the AMAs.
Before a chorus of booze.
When did the AMAs get a clue that this was controversial?
Yeah.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
Right.
This is why I'm saying this whole award thing, I just think, is so ridiculous.
Well, it is ridiculous, but it means a lot to the people who are involved in it. You know, first-time winners are big. We always talk about the fact that a lot of people don't think the Grammys are important anymore, mostly people who have already won many Grammys. Those people who are on the come-up and really want to make a name for themselves really want to win these things.
Let me ask you a different question, Harvey, because Jason. So this is what I'm confused about. Kelly Rowland has nearly universal likability. Maybe she is not a deeply known celebrity in the Beyonce sense,
everyone
who knows her likes her. Why use her well of to support Chris Brown? Why lean into these waters?
Good on Kelly Rowland that she at least is authentic to who she is.
Fair.
If she believes, if she believes that, which
hold on.
No. I'm really serious. She believes that. And what is she supposed to do? Say, you just ignore it?
If she came out and said, I really want to also lend my support to R. Kelly, I don't think we'd applaud her for being true to who she is.
No, I understand that.
We would disparage her for being true to a monster. I'm not saying that Chris Brown's in R. Kelly's category at all. But
everything's a sliding scale.
But everything's a sliding scale.
And if she believes this, first of all, I will say this.
Yeah.
There's somebody else who accepted Chris Brown's apology.
Rihanna.
Yeah.
And so that makes a difference.
It does.
And again, I understand this is what he did was horrendous. And a lot of times victims of this don't lay in hard on the person who beat them.
Right.
And so, you know, you take that with a grain of salt. Nonetheless, she believes it. Good on her for speaking her mind because
good on her, except she loaned some of her aura of goodwill to a guy like Chris Brown. And you're
that's called principle. That's called principle.
But that's not a good principle.
Why? She believes it.
Well,
Chris Brown is not
what?
You.
Hold on. She believes what? She believes that notwithstanding the fact that he beat the hell out of her.
How about this? He beat the hell out of her.
Yes.
It was horrendous.
Yes.
He was convicted. And he served time ultimately. It was a messed up thing.
Right.
But he did serve some time. So he's gone through the criminal justice system. He has been punished for it. And, you know, some people could say you have to then let somebody move on with their life. That's a point of view. You may not agree with it, but it is a legitimate point of view to have, whether you agree or not.
Yeah, it, although we act as though Chris Brown has never had another transgression in his life. It's simply not true.
The
look
other
at our
ones,
website, you can Google him.
I understand.
Incorrigible with graffiti. He's been accused
okay,
of
graffiti
other,
ain't,
he's been accused
well,
of other
he threw,
sexual...
that, he threw the thing out of the window at GMA and could have killed somebody.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not saying...
okay, no, look, so why does he get to borrow... Why should Kelly lend him? That's
well,
how I see it as
she?
A capital
why,
count
why
of
did
her
she do
goodwill.
It? Why, but that, your point is...
She wasn't
going to
say anything except there were booze.
Oh, I
think she, no, that's she. Why she did it.
Oh, I think she was hoping Chris Brown was going to win. I think she was hoping there'd be booze. And I think she was hoping she
boy,
could
get
his position.
You are ascribing a lot to her that we have no idea.
No, but she clearly is a friend of his. She wants it. She wants
well, she was
going to
give him an award. And then all of a sudden,
she
people
said,
booed
I'm going to deliver to you personally.
She did say, I'm going to bring it to you.
It's not like she said, shut up, motherfucker. She didn't say that.
She said, chill out. That's the
hey,
television.
You know,
chill
one
out.
Of the principles of show business is you don't scold the audience unless you really mean it. The audience is always right.
Meant
kind of like the customer. I don't know. Is that a principle?
She meant it.
Sounds like one.
She meant it.
I like
it.
You telling Harvey what a principle of show business is.
She meant it. Okay. I want to... oh, my God. Boy, this Colorado shooting. You know, look, they still haven't said what this is about, but when somebody takes a long gun, a long rifle, into a gay nightclub and starts... murdering people, and you got to think there's some targeting here, right? And you know, this is, I got to tell you, this is a really troubling time. This is a really troubling time. And I was thinking about it over the weekend, and it's not even so much because, you know, we're so into elections and what does the majority think and who is the majority. Then we're looking at, you know, millions and millions of people versus millions and millions of people. The more I thought about it, this country is imperiled, not because of, you know, 40 million against 38 million. The country's imperiled because this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy, and there are enough of those guys that they are, they're destroying the country. And part of this emanates from guns and accessibility. And I got to tell you, this is not, I remember when... And I think it was 1964. I was like 13 years old. And that a guy named Whitman went to the top of the tower at the University of Texas and shot people up. And I remember it was incomprehensible to grasp. And just the idea that somebody had done that. But it didn't result in this wave of violence like that. Now it's a tsunami of violence. And a lot of it has been in the gay community and in the Jewish community and in other communities, in the Black community and the Asian community. And it's happening enough with individuals that they are, I think, really imperiling the way we live.
Yeah. It's impossible to see what happened in Colorado Springs and not think of the Pulse nightclub shooting. I mean, it seems clearly a hate-motivated crime when you go to a gay nightclub where people are enjoying themselves, dancing, and in a confined space and open fire. I don't think you can sort of read this in any other way. I'm troubled that this guy was also arrested in June of 21 after making a bomb threat with his mother.
Why are you troubled?
Well, I'm troubled because, you know, he was charged with two felonies. He clearly is laboring, in my mind, under some sort of mental disability.
Well,
that moment.
You know what his mom did after he tried to blow up or threatened to blow up their house with a makeshift bomb, which the police never found. She went on Facebook and she was looking for a PTSD therapist.
Yes.
And a boxing coach, which is
to let out his
aggression
in some productive way.
So
yeah.
She was alarmed. But, you know, we have seen this so much that, you know, mental health, which is so vital. But what is the police going to do every time somebody? I have a friend who is just become a therapist. And to get the number of hours, you work on these teen suicide lines. And the number of people calling in with really horrendous mental health struggles. So what do you do? Do you just keep calling the police and they come out? And then what do they do?
Well,
do they lock them up? Do they put them in an institution? How many people? Are there millions of people? It's like, how do you solve that problem?
It's incredibly hard. But this guy was clearly a threat to himself or others with the nature of his threats. It's sad to me. I read the thing about his mother going on Facebook looking for a PTSD specialist as emblematic of the problem. She shouldn't have to run to Facebook to try to solve this problem if her son is laboring under something that could threaten other people or himself.
I'm not
sure. You got to get him some help.
Well,
mandatory.
I mean, but who are we faulting for not getting him the help? The mother?
I think she did what she could under the circumstances.
So we can't incarcerate someone.
There's no fault. I mean, it's like, I don't know how to solve that. The one thing I know that we can work on is just guns.
So and therein lies the issue, right? I mean, it is always, whenever you talk about gun control, it's always thrown back that the vast majority of people who have guns are legally on them and do not commit crimes with them. But we know that some people do commit crimes with them. And the fact that we do nothing to try to address this issue is, to me, the great failure of the modern age. I just don't understand how we keep looking at the same problem, especially in a place like Colorado. Colorado is an interesting place, right? It was a hardcore conservative state until about 2008. And all of a sudden, it shifted, and it shifted quickly. Huge population influx into Colorado, and it is now a dark blue state where it was a dark red state just 15 or 20 years ago. And I think you have this coming together of two things. Number one, a long and proud gun culture much shorter lived but very proud liberal progressive culture. And I think these two things are coming together.
They clash.
And you look at the history, and you've got the Aurora theater shooting.
Oh, we got Columbine.
You've got Columbine going on there. You've got, you know, they've had more than their share, and. Look, I mean, it's America right now. And I got to tell you, I just spent a lot of time thinking of this over the weekend that, you know, if you were gay, would you worry about going to a nightclub next weekend?
Absolutely. I'd worry about my child going to a nightclub.
As a Jew, would you worry about going to temple? As a black person, would you worry about going to church? You know, and on and on and on.
Every minority group has been targeted. And Muslims have been targeted. Asians have been targeted. Everybody's been targeted.
And so the question, as this continues to happen and people become more fearful, ironically, it's not the government or a political movement that is threatening the way we live. It's these individuals that go on and are allowed to do what they do because we have no controls over the weapons they use, and they are going to create agoraphobia in this country.
Yeah, it's impeding our way of life. I mean, if people are scared, they're not going to do the things that are the very fabric of, life.
It's just, I remember Barack Obama speaking after the Sandy Hook massacre in 2011, was that? Mm-hmm. And going on about, and he was crying at the podium. He said, I've been trying to fight this fight and I get nowhere. Can we finally do something? And here we are 10, 11 years later, however long it's been. And the answer is no, we cannot do anything meaningful on gun control. I'm almost done having the discussion because it goes nowhere. In 20 years, we'll be in the exact same place. We will not have an assault weapons ban. We'll continue to have mass shootings. We'll continue to have minority groups targeted and killed at the will of this bananas minority of people.
Okay, I want to do one other thing. Happy birthday, Joe Biden. Mm. You're 80 now.
Mm-hmm.
Oldest guy to ever sit in the White House.
Is that right? I looked it up. Ronald Reagan took left office younger than Joe Biden took office.
No, that's right.
Ronald Reagan was 77 years old when he left office for the final time.
And by the way,
Biden was 78 when he took office.
And so, you know, the question, you know, people are, I saw a report this morning on cable and they're talking about this and they're saying, look, you know, just because he's 80, and they were showing all the things that he has accomplished and how he has energy and everything else, they weren't getting into any of the memory lapses or anything like that. They never even addressed it, which really is wrong. I mean, you've got to address all of it. But the reality is that Joe Biden has done, when you really look at it objectively, whether you agree with the policies, he's done a lot. He has done a lot. And he's been an effective president given the landscape of the country, and especially where it was when he took over. Again,
he had the control of the legislative branch as well.
But he had the progressive wing that wasn't on board with him. He still navigated a lot, and you got to give him credit. But that all said, Joe Biden will be 86 if he gets elected and leaves office. So the question, you know, they had these, again, I was watching CNN this morning, and they had a doctor on and saying, yeah, you know, 80 is the new 70 or whatever else. You know,
can be.
Well, I mean, but basically saying
it's clearly not in this case. Yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, there's
Harvey, it's out of the question that this guy runs again, don't you think?
Oh, look, he's going to run again.
Ronald
Reagan had Alzheimer's during his second term.
Yeah. Arguably, yeah.
Well, I mean, it was
by all accounts, he was demented.
By all accounts, you know.
It shows you that this is equal opportunity. People criticize him while he was in office for his lapses. People criticize Joe Biden for his lapses.
The reality is, as you get older, you
have diminishments.
You have diminishments. Sure. And they can be physical, they can be mental, they can be both. But it's you don't get out unscathed.
Yeah.
And the question is, how long do you go? And, you know, and it's interesting because people have talked about this with the Supreme Court, that there should be age limits in the Supreme Court. And there are others saying, no, that's not true. You shouldn't have that because there are really good justices who are in their 90s who were still really productive. But there are still people who aren't. And then the question is, do you set a limit at a point?
I have to say, it depends on the individual, right? I don't think you set a hard and fast limit. There are clearly people in their 80s who are very sharp and have all their faculties.
Sure.
And
Warren Buffett, deep into his 80s.
Are you rolling the dice?
I don't like taking the vote away from the people. If the people want to vote, I'm not saying
I'm not. Okay, well, let's put it this way. How relevant is it? Because Donald Trump, by the way, is no spring chicken.
But he has his faculties.
But he has his full faculties, and you have to call it like you see it. Look, the problem with Joe Biden...
Well, here's the thing. There are a lot of people who believe Joe Biden impaired is better than Donald Trump losing.
No, that's true,
that's
fair. That's for the voters, right? but Donald Trump, look, he, I think, in my opinion, is legitimately psychologically impaired.
I agree.
But not dementia.
But not dementia.
He's just wrong-headed.
Right.
He labors under narcissism and a host of sort of other problems with his faculties that are very different than Joe Biden.
My personal opinion, if that becomes the choice, it's an easy one for me.
Oh,
I go with Biden.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I went with Biden the last time, knowing this was the case with Biden.
But
I don't think it's gotten markedly worse.
I'm saying even next time. But it's, you know, it's so funny. I want to end this because I have talked to Bill Maher a lot about, you know, people getting older. And it's funny because he, for whatever reason, he watches TMZ and he hates it when, you know, the Gen Xers and the Gen Zers and the millennials in our room.
When we attack you.
Attack me for my age and saying, you know, you're an old man, you don't know. And he's really indignant about that. And I was thinking about this over the weekend. And I agree with most of what Bill Maher says. I really do. We're very like-minded. I disagree with him on this one.
Hmm.
And I'll tell you why. I was thinking about it. When I was 20 years old, 22, and the Vietnam War was raging, we had a mantra.
Yeah.
And you know what it was? You know what the mantra was? It was a saying.
Don't trust anyone over 30.
Don't trust anyone over 30. And I embraced that. Hmm. And there was a reason. Because old people screwed us. Old people got us into this war. Old people created a lot of discrimination. Old people created a lot of problems in our country back then. Well, it's hard for me to, you know, to look at somebody who is 22 years old who says to me, you're a relic. You know, I don't trust you because you're older.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to say that because, you know, maybe today I realize I have more wisdom than I had back then, and I wouldn't believe then what I believe. If I knew what I know now, I wouldn't believe it back then. But the fact is they don't have that. I mean, this is sort of like...
But aren't young people stupid?
It's sort of... Well, yeah. But it's sort of...
And yet you would entrust the future of our country to a guy in his mid-80s. You just said...
No, but it's sort of like the seniority system in Congress when, you know, like a senator would say, you know, the longer I'm in Congress, the more I like the seniority system.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of the same thing that now that I get older, I realize the wisdom of older people. Well, younger people don't realize that wisdom. And why would I ascribe something to them that I couldn't embrace back then as well? And the fact is, older people have messed up this country. We have more problems today than we did when I was 20.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to cast aspersions on younger people who might look at me, might look at a politician and say, no, you're too old to do this.
I think you're giving way too much credit to young people.
I like what he's saying because he's giving us open season in the meeting.
Well, that happens anyway.
But I'm really serious about it. I thought about it, the more I thought, you know what? Who is an older person to tell a younger person you can't think this way if you thought that way when you were younger?
Yeah, I hear that. Although young people are pretty dumb, and
young people are really stupid.
I don't trust them.
Were you stupid when you were young?
Yes, very stupid.
Yes, and so were you. Stupid. And when you said things like "don't trust anyone over 30, it was stupid.
Hold on,
it was stupid.
I don't think I was stupid when I was 20.
You were idealistic.
I just don't think that I understood as much.
Isn't it our job as older people to shepherd the young people along so they don't make huge mistakes?
Yeah, but we've messed up this country. We've messed up the environment. We've messed up civil rights. We've messed up foreign relations. We've messed up COVID. We've messed up so much that
they've messed up the civil discourse. there's a lot of things the young people have messed up as well. They've messed up social media.
Well,
they've messed up how we interact with one another. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I mean,
so we all mess up.
We all mess up, but you know, I don't know. Anyway,
I
wanted to be a little forgiving. I'll see you later, bro.